Blog Talk Radio.
That's what she said, British lady. Hope everybody's doing fantastic. Welcome to Pop Culture Stars for 7/13/22 here in rainy, drizzly, busted Jacksonville, North Carolina. My name is Dave Atwell, and I'm your host for this evening, and I have totally assed up the intro, got it all scrambled up. Nevertheless, we will survive and move on. And as I go outside to light up my delicious cigar from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville, I'm going to pass it around the most esteemed and wonderful panel, my good brothers, hailing from the city of Indianapolis and outlying regions. First off, where the alpacas roam freely.
Yes.
Without fear of persecution. Or worse. Tim, what's going on?
What is going on? Good evening, and what can I tell you? Yes, up here in Westfield, where we just dodged a rain shower, but would have liked to have had it. It's really nice day out. Glad to be back. I was on, we'll call it leave, for vacation last week, and happened to go through Gettysburg. That was quite an experience. I was there when I was a kid. But going back as an adult, it means a little bit more to you, especially if you take the time to read about it or watch, you know, some of the videos that they have. Anyway, that's a different story. So glad to be back and looking forward to a good show tonight. We got Todd, so that's cool, and let's kick it off.
Outstanding. Good to have you aboard. Good to have you back. Good to hear that you enjoyed your trip and everything. And yeah, when you go to those places, I don't think folks realize, when you go to those battlegrounds, I know Moore's Creek is right down the street. I say that. It's about a half hour from us, which was a battlefield in the American Revolution. Whenever you, you know, you got Statesville and a bunch of them around here. Whenever you go to places like that, there's a you can feel it. When you go to these places, it's a totally different experience. And, you know, like my folks, they went to the Little Bighorn a few years back when they were driving to Seattle to get on an Alaskan cruise. And mom said, you know, you get out of the truck, and she said, it's so still. You know, it's just a whole different feeling. You could kind of feel like a pall hanging over you and everything. So it's very, very humbling when you go to those type of places, man. And Gettysburg, of course, being one of the nastiest battles on American soil, man. That is, that one. That's a tough one. It's definitely on my list to get to, man. I have still yet to get up there, but
It's a bit pricey to do, but it's worth it. I mean, pricey. I say this because I paid for what, four or five of us to do it. So, but I think there was a ticket admission price. It was somewhere between like $12 and $18. I can't really remember, but you see like a 20-minute video about it. Currently, the one they have is narrated by Morgan Freeman, and then after that, they take you into the room that's got the big picture surrounding, what do you call it, the panoramic photos, whatever. It's a painting that was done by a Frenchman like years ago. It was actually shortly after the battle itself. And anyway, that's well worth the payment. Do that and then read up on it and then go take one of the tours. They've got, you can download the app, you can do the audio tour that way, which is basically a self-guided thing. And there's signs that tell you where to go, so it's tough to get lost, even though, yes, we managed to get lost. I'm sure it was my fault. But you can do that, or you can pay to have, like, so that's free,
it's
obviously. Just
still very
app.
Doable, going where no man has gone before, unaccompanied. Well, man,
can,
it's good to have you aboard this evening. Good to have you back. Now, kicking it across the street where the alpacas are scared to roam. To my good brother and anchor man, Todd, what is up?
and doing outstanding. The Supernatural, ecstatic to be here. True story, we had visiting the areas around the crater for Civil War works there in Virginia and Fort Lee area. And they had the little placards out there by, you know, quick little summary placard. It was written out, and they also had them in Braille. And I remember standing by the Braille one, moving my fingers across it while moving my had my eyes focused on the written one. And I was reading the written one out loud, and the people I were with were like, "When'd you learn Braille?"
When they have Braille on signs, I've always wondered, how the hell do you find a sign to start with? you know what I mean? So, it's, yeah. That's another one of those questions I'll get answers to in the afterlife, you know?
Like the ones at the bank drive-thrus.
Yeah, I was going to say, if I ever see one on a steering wheel or something, I'm going to be a little puzzled.
But, no, the if you go to those sites, just real quick, you go to those sites, it's going to humble you.
Yeah, man. There's a certain amount of reverence that comes with it, and I don't think folks really appreciate or understand what it's like until you go there, and then it's, you know, like I was saying with the little bighorn, they actually have markers where they found the bodies. So, I mean, in your mind's eye, you could sit right there and just picture to, picture what it looked like and everything. And, it's heavy stuff, man. And, you know, if that doesn't give you a sense of appreciation for what we've done to get to this country to where it's at right now, then pack it up. Head on somewhere else. We don't need to. Enough said. I know everybody's threatening to move if Trump gets to be president. Well, you didn't do it last time. So you're still here and you're still a pain in my ass. But nevertheless, great to have you guys aboard this evening. So when we're talking about great Americans and great American stories, for crying out loud, tonight's topic, we're talking about mob flicks, talking about good old-fashioned American entrepreneurism, otherwise known as organized crime. Now, how did we come to this topic? For one, I'd like to pour one out. I'm a big Sopranos guy. And two of my favorite characters were Uncle June and Polly Walnuts. And Tony Chirico, who played Polly Walnuts, of course, passed this week. And we also lost James Caan this week, man. Sonny Corleone, among other things. And so two mob icons through film, that is, are no longer with us, so I thought tonight we could discuss our favorite mob films, television series, documentaries, songs, you name it. I should have had some Louis Prima cranked up in the background for this, but nevertheless, it's always good. We lost Ray Liotta, too, just here recently, too. So, I mean, yeah, we've been kind of taking a few hits here lately.
See, you're
man.
Saying recently, crap, I bet that's another one that time snuck up on us. But that's been a bit longer than we thought.
Oh, really?
I don't even want to look it up, but I'm just going to say sometimes something feels like it's just a couple months back. Next thing you know, it was 8, 10, 14, 16 months. I don't think it's that far, but I'm just saying it. Shit, that might have been a minute.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt
right.
It does seem like
it does.
Well, damn.
That's what happens when you get old, boys and girls. That's what you got to deal with. But, yeah, and I would like to go ahead and start a grassroots thing right here that when Joe Pesci passes, and hopefully it'll be long, long, long ago or long, long, long ahead, we should have like a national day of just remembrance and perhaps have a holiday. Doesn't have to be one that shuts down the post office, but just have Joe Pesci Day, where everybody just walks around, has a minute to
and
enjoy a
cigar. And does Water Bandits Imitation.
Yeah, and we'll walk around all day going, hey, you have a good day. Why do I got to have a good day? Huh? No, no, you tell me. You said it first. You tell me why I got to have a good day. Just to and just to
there's
hit
sad,
the what was the
screw you in the drive thru.
There you go.
Yeah.
What do you mean I'm funny, Henry? Like I'm put on this earth to amuse you? Like I'm some kind of clown or something? And then Ray Liotta's got to hit the Tommy. The way you tell your stories, they make me laugh.
Yeah. Did this guy
that
bald?
Was such a great sequence
for
that
one?
Movie.
This, I could quit any time when he was in, lest we forget, he was in Easy Money when he was sitting there talking about, you know, danger pills trying to quit. So, look, I could quit any time. He stubs his cigarette out and immediately lights another one.
Lights another one? When he jumped the rail at that horse race, that shit was funny. Yeah, that's all stuff that, you know, it's kind of forgotten roles, man, but Pesci was fantastic in Easy Money. There was nothing. That movie was flawless. I swear, still to this day, it holds up. One of my favorite comedies, Easy. But, you know, Pesci, he was in Raging Bull. And I thought he was awesome in Raging Bull. And, you know, right there at the beginning when he's talking to De Niro, and De Niro says, you know what the problem is? My hands. Got these little girl hands. You know, and Pesci's just sitting there, you know, like, you know, just letting him get it off his chest. And he goes, well, I'll tell you what, I want you to hit me. Then, not going to hit you. No, go ahead and hit me. I ain't going to hit you. Look, you cut, sir, I ain't going to hit you. Come on, what's the matter with you? We used to fight all the time when we were kids. I want you to hit me. Jack, I ain't going to hit you. And then De Niro goes, what are you, fag? And then it got all business with Pesci. I ain't a fag. I'm not going to hit you. I don't have any gloves. Here, put that towel on your hand. Wrap it around your hand already. God, Raging Bull was such a great flick, too, man. I mean, it kind of gets lost in the shuffle behind, say, Goodfellas, The Casino, and those kind of movies. But, man, Raging Bull was fantastic.
Boy, Casino, that scene where they did in his brother.
Yeah. That's cool.
I tell you, well, let me throw this out. We just ran through a guy that was in a couple yardstick gangster movies, mob movies, those, whatever you want to call it, genre of flicks. And we ran through some of his roles that had nothing to do with it and some that really made us laugh. Lest anybody forget, Joe Pesci's not a one-trick pony.
Very true.
He was smiling
been,
without his tooth and that
there we go.
Home Alone.
Yeah, Home Alone.
Back.
Yeah.
We missed that,
Alone.
Todd. We lost you, bud.
Oh, sorry. I was just laughing about him not being one-trick pony. And Joe Pesci not being a one-trick pony, stuff that made us laugh, and all I could think about was him smiling without that tooth in Home Alone.
Home Alone? Yeah, they say that
the wet bandits,
when you
yeah.
meet him in person, he is a very gracious and kind. And he, whenever he signs something, he always signs it, "God is great, Joe Pesci." So, yeah, you can't help but admire that. And it's always good to hear a guy who's kind of kept it on track and hasn't lost his mind with all of his success and everything. But, yeah, Pesci is, God, just incredible, man. And the way he could turn it on and turn it off the way he does is just good stuff. Now, I'm trying to think.
Oh, Lord.
Of the recent, you know, I think everybody on the planet has seen Godfather and Casino and Goodfellas, and we'll be going back and touching on them by accident, of course, throughout the night. But here recently, I think I mentioned it last week, where I had watched a series called The Offer, and it was about the making of The Godfather. It's on Paramount Plus. It's 10 episodes, about 50 minutes, hour-long apiece. And excellent, excellent stuff. I enjoyed it. The actors that they had playing Brando and Pacino and all them were spot on. The guy that they had playing Pacino was just right on. And well worth the watch. I enjoyed it. And the guy who played Franco Colombo, the mobster, was none other than Giovanni Ribisi, however you pronounce his last name. I apologize for slaughtering it. But you want to talk about a guy who's been in everything. Now, when I mention Giovanni, you're going, who the hell is that guy? So, here's a couple clues of who this guy is. Saving Private Ryan, he was the medic that got shot by the German that they let go.
Yeah.
All right. Now, if I got to go deeper, he's also the guy who played the stalker on Ted, and I can't remember the name. The bad guy who wanted to buy Ted for his son. But
I didn't see it.
That guy has been in everything. And when he was playing Columbo, holy cow. Not only did he look the part, but he acted the part, talked the part, everything. I mean, it was amazing. So, yeah, it was called The Offer. Well worth the watch.
Very well. See, you referenced The Sopranos earlier.
Now, have you guys seen anything close recently?
The Peaky Blinders? Anyone?
You know, I haven't started watching that. Is that good?
I thought it was interesting, given that it was Brit-based.
Right.
It was... There were some good characters in that flick series. It was, I think it was a BBC series, but I don't know how, you know how some of that stuff is, the mixed partnerships with the, you know, sources. It was pretty cool because, it was kind of funny. I could tell that it had at least some level of popularity because periodically some of the characters from that are used in memes. But it was kind of cool. They had a variation of one of the great Bond bad guys. If anybody remembers Oddjob from Goldfinger with the steel-brimmed bowler hat that when he threw it and killed the one chick and had decapitated the statue and ended up doing himself in with it. But they, with the hats they wore, they kept razor blades in them on the edges so that, you know, that was one of their weapons when they got in the fights. They would just swing them at people's faces.
No kidding. Yeah, I have to watch that, man. That's one of those ones that I've almost clicked on. I don't know how many times, but, you know, when you start looking at something that's six seasons long, you know, it's kind of a commitment. And that's probably what's kept me from clicking on it. Now, I'll tell you, on Netflix, that's where Peaky Blinders is at. It's not necessarily a mob flick, but it's somewhat close. It's that Kevin Costner, Woody Harrelson, The Highwaymen. It is about the guys who shot down Bonnie and Clyde. And, you know, we've all heard the story of Bonnie and Clyde. I mean, we all remember, was it Warren Beatty and Faye Dunaway? It was Bonnie
Sounds
and Clyde,
right.
I think. But anyhow, this is told from the other side of the table. And it's pretty damn good. I mean, both guys, you know, and I got a soft spot for Costner. I like a lot of his stuff. But yeah, him and Woody Harrelson really, and the production on it was good. It wasn't, you know, a lot of those Depression era programs they put out kind of are a little hit and miss. But yeah, that one was pretty tight. But yeah, it's called Highwaymen. And it's on Netflix. And to best of my knowledge, it's a Netflix original. So it'll probably stay on there. It won't be one they get rid of.
For the life of me, I can't confirm that. But I did watch it, and it was pretty good. It sure was. It was better than what I thought it would be going into it.
Yeah. That was me. It was more than what I anticipated. You know, it didn't totally blow my doors off, but it was good. It was more than I thought I was going to get. So,
yeah, I mean,
that
was
worth it.
It was entertaining. I'm
trying to think of some other ones that.
Well, I tell you what, you guys can sit there and do some thinking. But real life gangster, kind of cool. Played a role in World War II, Lucky Luciano, and his mob connections, why there might have been limited impact with
Todd, we lost
what
you
the
again.
Government got out of them for helping make sure
I
there was
still
no,
him.
Wait, Tim, you hear me, but Dave don't?
That is correct. He said he couldn't hear you, and he's like, he cut out. And I said I could hear
you.
Yeah. You never dropped me. I always heard
you.
Okay.
Fascinating. The just fascinating. So about Lucky Luciano. The government went to him and other mobsters for help during World War II. And one of the first things was to make sure there's no chicanery at the docks, you know, attempts at sabotage or anything. There's nothing to say it worked or didn't work, really, to speak of. But the connections to help with the populace of Sicily during Operation Husky, they had just, you know, little things from maps to making sure the Allies were greeted more warmly than coldly or violently.
Right.
Was a huge thing. Of course, you know, they had their own reasons. Mussolini had, of course, tried to crack down on the mob all over to include Sicily. So, of course, it didn't hurt their feelings none to see that cat toppled and to assist in it. Yeah. So I just wanted to throw out some history with that, because every now and again, different documentaries will reference it. So that qualifies as television.
Yeah, that's something they ought to consider diving into, because that'd be some interesting watching right there, to see how the bad guys kind of became the good guys to a certain extent. And because, you know, they controlled the docks back in those days, so why not put them into the employ for security? You know, it's as crazy as it sounds, it makes all the sense in the world, you know.
The double you know.
Yeah. Now, throw you guys a little, it's a mob related, but not necessarily a movie type thing, but our good brother Kevin, my business partner, his son, when he was in the Marine Corps, was stationed over there in Italy briefly, and he took some shore leave, and he looked up some landmarks that were in The Godfather. All right. So,
oh, very cool. See, that sounds like Josh.
Yeah, that's totally him. You work with him. You know how he is. He's the old block when it comes down to his dad. He went to the restaurant that in the first Godfather, when Al Pacino went back to Sicily and he met his first wife, Apollonia. If you recall, she was a waitress, I think, at the restaurant, and her dad owned the restaurant, as the story goes. He went there to eat, and he was eating, and he had a cigar. Well, he had a travel humidor that Eddie had given him from Godfather Cigars here in Jacksonville. And because Eddie, and not to go deep in a rabbit hole, but Eddie does an amazing thing there at Godfather's. He takes donations. He takes he sells cigar boxes. And I'm not talking your King Edward boxes, the nice wooden boxes that cigars come in. He sells those things for like $5 a piece. And every dime that he makes from them, he puts into a fund where he makes care packages and sends them off to our troops overseas. Fantastic program. So anyhow, he got a hold of Josh and sent Josh, you know, a bunch of cigars for him and the guys, and sent him a travel humidor that had the Godfather's logo on it. So anyhow, go back to the restaurant where he's eating.
Irony abounds.
Yeah. So the guy who owned the restaurant was walking around table to table. Hey, you enjoying your meal? Everything good? Can I do anything for you? Well, he looked down and saw Josh's humidor and said, where'd you get that? And he said, well, you know, and he gave him the whole story behind it. And he says, wow, that's amazing. You know what? Are you guys busy? And, you know, Josh and his date were like, oh, no, no, we're just eating. And he goes, good. When you get done eating, come inside. I got something for you. He took those two on an entire tour of the whole thing, down in the wine cellars, the whole nine yards, just him and Josh and his date, and walked around and said, yeah, this is where this was filmed. Yeah, that's where filmed. Here, let me show you this. And apparently in the wine cellar, you're only allowed in the wine cellar if you are, like, part of a member of whatever in the hell group they've got there. And Josh said you go in there, and for as long as you can see, it's nothing but casks of wine. He said it was amazing. And you never guess by, you know, because the place is kind of modest. He said, but then you go downstairs, and it's like 10 times the size, and it's all wine. So, yeah, he took pictures. He actually sat in the spot from where the movie was shot and everything. And I thought that was cool as hell, man. And like, you know, Todd was alluding to, small world type stuff, the way that kind of comes around. Because if it wasn't for The Godfather, chances are probably the shot would have been named something. You know? So, yeah, that was cool as hell, man. That's another one I'd like to go visit. But me getting on a plane and flying to Italy right now probably is not likely. But nevertheless, how cool would it be to go over there to Sicily and actually look at the places where they shot that film 50 years ago? It's incredible to think about.
Well, you know, there are stories of stuff in Italy with some of the catacombs about how, and this is more street gang related, on how a lot of the street gangs resided in those things. Those were where they hung out and hid from and stuff. And I wouldn't doubt that at some point some of the mob started there and had its connections, or still, you know, use them as their street thugs and stuff. But there is just, look, there is so much history there that goes back, and I mean goes back. There are a lot of those places that have a pretty well-documented history, and there's still stuff that's not completely built over and things like that. In America, we do craziness. Our pyramid was built over in St. Louis. There was not a Egyptian-style pyramid or Central or South American-style pyramid, but our pyramid there in St. Louis that the American Indians had built. And St. Louis was a indigenous populous trading center back in the day.
Matter of fact, that turned up, I don't know if you guys ever read much James Michener novels, but if you recall the Michener novel and miniseries for Continental, that was a key trading post, like you said, for Robert Conrad when he played Pasquinel, and he was a French fur trader. And he would always go to Saint Louis to trade his furs with the Native Americans. So,
Conrad, are you talking about the, you know, go ahead, knock it off.
That's right, the battery. And he was in that, what was it, Baba Black Sheep?
Oh, yeah. And, of course, the Wild Wild West TV series.
Yeah. Robert Conrad was another guy's guy. He didn't mess around. He was just one of those guys that
again, the old, you know, there were two I'm tougher than you commercials back in the day. One was the Timex and the other was Robert Conrad with the Ever Ready batteries.
Yeah. That's right. It was Ever Ready. That's right.
He put that battery on his shoulder and said, knock it off. he all but I triple dog dare you.
And he, yeah. Did I say Continental earlier? I meant Centennial. It just hit me. Centennial was
you
the name of the
book. You did say Continental because I wanted to say a Lincoln comment and
totally. If for some reason the old mental VCR went off in my head and I rewound the tape there. I don't know why the hell I said that, but getting away from the mob story, that damn Centennial miniseries was fantastic, and that thing came out in the 70s. And
I do not recall that for nothing.
Oh, you don't? Good God, that was amazing, man. It had Robert Conrad, Richard Chamberlain, Tia Carrera, Barbara Carrera.
I may watch it just for her.
Yeah, she plays Clay Baskin. She plays a Native American in it, and yeah, Clay Baskin. That was early. Yes, she was definitely on it. I'm trying to think who else was in that. There's a bunch of guys. The guy who was in Trapper.
Boy,
John,
he remembered the chick's name, but he can't remember the bunch of guys. Nice.
Well, yeah. At least that's some evidence right there. That, you know, it's a straight swing. But who was the guy who played Gonzo on, not the Muppet, but on Trapper John, the young guy? Oh, God damn it.
Oh, he man. Played, yeah, okay.
He played Levi Zent in Centennial. Oh, God. I can't remember. Nevertheless, Alex Karras was in it.
No shit. God.
Yeah.
That was right post-football then.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was... There was a ton of people in that.
Well,
and,
I don't know. Alex Karras had one iconic role as far as I'm concerned.
Is that Porky's?
Mongo.
Or Webster. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Really? Didn't jump to your mind with the Alex Karras? Well,
I went straight Porky's on it. Whenever I think about Alex Karras, I think about him playing that damn sheriff. He's like, you got a headlight out. I don't have a headlight out. You do now.
Oh, Alex Karras, man. I remember, barely remember Porky's. The, I remember my dad liking the hell out of that show. The, but no, Mongo. Oh, don't shoot. In reference to Mongo, don't shoot him. You only piss him off.
Yeah, Alex Karras is another one of those guys. 70s and 80s, he was in quite a bit of stuff.
Well, he was the dad, if you will, for damn Different Strokes or whatever it was.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, with, damn it, Webster.
Okay, yeah. It was one of those shows. Yeah, he definitely, whoever thought that that would be a role he'd do. And as we go down these channels of the guys that are doing the different roles, I'm still kind of channeling Joe Pesci with his comedy to other things.
Joe Pesci's comedy ability
was great.
When all else fails, you Google that shit. So I'm going to read off some quick names for Centennial, and then we'll get back to the mob thing since it bothered me so much. You ready? Robert Conrad, Go. Richard Chamberlain, Raymond Burr, David Jansen, Barbara Carrera, Andy Griffith, Lynn Redgrave, Richard
Barbara
Brenna.
Carrera, okay.
Yes. Sally Kellerman. Yeah. Chad Everett. Gregory Harrison was the one I was trying to think of.
There we go. That was the one you were trying to think of.
Yep. Donald Pleasance, who, of course, was Halloween.
He was also, Donald Pleasance was also a classic Bond guy. Go on.
Yeah. Let's see here. Sharon Gless, that's another one. Brian Keith, Dennis Weaver, Robert Vaughn, Mark Harmon.
Robert Vaughn.
Yeah,
shit.
Stephanie Douglas.
Oh, God, that had to be young Mark Harmon. Well, what years is that showing, Dave, now that you're looking it up?
It is, I want to say 78. Yeah, 1978.
That was a
and
good
it was,
year.
God damn it. Is that when you were born or some shit?
Yes, it is.
God almighty.
Ten episodes, so, I mean, that seems small by the standards these days, but, I mean, they were feature length. Each one was, each episode was like 2-3 hours long. So, I mean, it's a good 25, 30 hours worth of watching.
Yeah, Dave acknowledged you, too.
Yeah, I'll get right
there. Wow.
Click.
Wow.
And, there we go. Stro in the house. What's going on, brother?
Hey, guys. How you doing? I hope you're having a good evening. Sorry I'm late to the party. I had a Eno River Media Zoom meeting that went a little long tonight, but we're planning the North Carolina Film Festival July 30th and at the New Bern Civic Theater.
Nice.
So we're just getting all that
cool.
underway. So it's looking great. So far, so, you know,
that's
I hope
exciting.
It's good
rock
success.
And roll, better late than never. Glad to have
success
you.
Success, everybody. Oh, great to be here. Great
we
to be here.
We need to get Anthony Dalling on here. We haven't had Dalling on here in forever, and whenever he was on, it was always good conversation. We need to get him back on.
Mr. Dowling's always had a good insight on, like, the state of the film industry on the East Coast. So, I mean, he's always great to pick his brain.
Well, North Carolina just had a big win on some of the filming stuff. Some film moved from somewhere central or west to North Carolina.
Yeah. Things are looking up, you know.
And North Carolina had lost some of that with the whole bathroom thing back, you know, feels like that was back in the day now.
Even before then, with the incentives, it hurt the film industry quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's when Georgia started winning.
Right.
All because some dude wanted to pee in the ladies' room.
Yeah, right.
apparently it moved to Wilmington, which is, God, I mean, when it comes down to it, that's freaking local for you guys. That's a win because that area has done a lot. I don't think a lot of people realize how much stuff has come out of that general area.
Oh, yeah, and it's great to see it boosting again. I mean, with Atlanta, I mean, it's pretty much the new Hollywood right now, Atlanta. So.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. That's awesome. No, that's good stuff. And we're going to do another sidetrack. You're talking end of the month with that one. And it's all very independent geared, right, Stro?
Yes. Our North Carolina Film Festival, it's for all, basically for the independent filmmakers to get their projects and films out there and get some exposure for everyone and just pretty much, let the world know, hey, you know, what they're all about, basically. So, I mean, it's a win-win for everybody that's involved.
That's cool. And New Bern's a pretty cool venue for that.
Yeah, that's what Jerry's saying.
Yeah.
The scenery is unreal out there.
And the theater's really nice that they're having it at this year, the Civic Theater in New Bern. It's a really nice place.
I don't think I've ever been there. Now that I'm thinking about it.
I'll be doing double duty, actually, that day, because I'm going to be, early in the day, I'll be part of the festival, then I'm going to Rockingham. As a National Guard Army, I'm wrestling also that night. I'm making my return to WCEW, old promotion I used to wrestle for some years back. So.
Nice. Cool. You're
gonna be
rocking damn today.
Yeah, it'll
that,
be busy.
That is a town that NASCAR really stuck it to, because they had two races a year out there in Rockingham, and Rockingham was one of the most entertaining tracks because it was a long track, but it was a tight track, and unless you watch racing, it's kind of hard to. I mean,
I used to love going out there. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And when they took, I want to say they took the Coca-Cola 600 and they moved that one to, was that the one they moved a lot? It doesn't matter. They moved, they went out to like Las Vegas, Chicago, Dallas, and a couple other big marketplaces and took them away from places like Darlington and Rockingham. But man, Rockingham, those two races, the entire town made their year's salary around those two races. And when NASCAR pulled those things out, it just totally switched those people. And
what a sad day.
That's a bunch of folks out there. Really friendly bunch of people.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
That's a good time.
That's a hell of a hump. That's almost the Charlotte.
Yeah. Well, thank God they got 74 a lot better now than they used to be. Oh, my God, 74 used to take forever because, like, there was no lights. All you see was trees and if anything at all.
Yeah.
Right?
So they've opened it up some?
Yeah. They got all the shortcuts and everything. It's so much better now than it used to be. And the speed limit's a lot better now. It's almost like interstate, basically, just about.
So you get out
here
and
the
go.
The trip to New Bern from Jacksonville, it's almost reduced by half or so, because when I was back there at the end of May, Darian ran me out there, and I was, like, dumbfounded because you – and I know this can't be good for a lot of those little towns we used to have to go through back in the day when, let's call it old 17, for lack of better description. The trip now, you're humming right along. There's none of these freaking 25-mile-an-hour zone things and all that. Again, it can't
isn't
be good
so
for
much
the
better?
Little towns.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
So much better.
The thing of it is and Stro, you'll remember from back in our school days, the Windmill Restaurant that was out there almost to Maysville. If you were taking a prom date out, if you didn't take her to Clancy O'Hara's in New Bern, you took her to the Windmill there close to Maysville. But once you get past the old Windmill Restaurant, it's almost like an eye blink, and the next thing you know, ba-bang, you're right there in New Bern. And in Pollocksville, which is one of the speed traps in between, there's a lot of doctors there. Huge, because what it is, it's close enough to Craven Memorial in New Bern, but you're not paying the New Bern prices for your office and everything. So a lot of doctors set up in Pollocksville. So when they set that bypass up, what they did is they took one little cutoff. There's one exit, and I'll be damned if that exit doesn't drop you 200 yards from that big doctor's complex. So when you have to go to see the cardiologist or the gastronomist and all those guys that are there, you just drive and you bear off to the right, and you're right in the parking lot. When you go to leave, you take a right, and you take a left, and then, ba-bang, you're heading back to Jacksonville already, man. And, man, it is so nice. I don't think folks know. And Tim, he's out there in Indianapolis petting his alpaca right now, going, I have no idea what these guys are talking about. If you only knew, Tim. If you were to look at a map of Jacksonville and New Bern. You would swear, oh, that's a quick drive. That ain't nothing. They ain't that far apart from one another. My God. It was two lanes, 45, 35, 55, 25, 35, 55, 45, 55. And all it took was one truck or one senior citizen to take that trip and turn it into an hour. If you had clean air.
Easy, one logging truck, and that was it.
Mm-hmm. That was it. I mean, it was over with because you couldn't pass. I mean, there's nowhere to pass. So that bypass, my God, you get on that thing, and I think it's 70 and a stroke.
Yeah.
Dude, you can get on that thing and just disappear.
It's so nice, man. So nice.
Yeah, and we took that. I was blown away with how quick we made that trip.
Yeah.
One thing surprises me, it makes me sound like my interpretation of the entrance into Quantico base. Todd, do you know what I'm talking about? I've heard it's actually, you can get backed up for quite a while. And I look on a map, and Quantico is a real small town. I guess getting to the base.
Kind of, sort of, but not really. But, yeah, the dude, I can tell you stories. I know Diamond Dave and Papa Stro know. If you were up there by Cherry Point at the wrong time and the NADEP 500 happens.
Oh, God.
Yeah, the Naval Aviation Depot up there, and it's all the, you know, all the aviation repair stuff and the Gov employees. That NADEP 500 happens, and forget about it. And, oh, God, do they have... And Jacksonville just went back through that again because, guys, help me out. It's probably been longer than I thought. The Wilson Gate got open for Camp Lejeune.
Yeah.
And then they just closed it and did some changes there at the end of May, early June. And, man, everything came back out, the old school new gate. And they changed stuff for the... We had all those alternate smaller gates that helped back in the day, and those are not the same anymore. And, man, that was horrible. Everybody
when you had to go down Holcomb Boulevard for everything.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything was on Holcomb. I mean, the commissary, the PX, everything was on Holcomb. And if you were going to go, brains shutting off again. What is that, the bypass they shut down after 9/11 that used to take you to the beaches that connected from Seas Ferry to Emerald Isle? What was the anyhow, it was a highway that cut through the backside of the base and ran along the coast. So if you were going to Onslow Beach there on the base, that's how you went. And they had no posted speed limit. It said travel at a safe speed. And, I mean, you can get out there. I remember when I was a teenager, we'd go to Sneed's Ferry. We'd go out to the beach. Not a whole lot of hottie action going on. We'd throw the stuff in the car, haul ass through the base. End up in Emerald Isle, check out the chick scene there. And right after 9/11, they shut that down because they didn't want, you know, everybody was, you know, tensed up about another attack. So they had to kind of pinch off any ancillary entrances or exits or anything.
Yeah,
but,
because that gate is way different now.
Yeah. But when you were going to the ammo dump and all that, you remember you're going down Holcomb and you hung a left at the ammo dump, and that took you to French Creek and the beach and all that stuff. But then if you went to the right, that's where they put up the new Naval Hospital, Paradise Point, the golf course, all that kind of stuff. You go back there now, there's houses there. I mean, it's absolutely insane the amount of stuff they built. So when they put that Wilson Boulevard because you remember it used to be that old nasty Knox trailer park that was there. When you couldn't get in, this is another nifty little thing about military life. When you're on the list to get into base housing, they put you in these temporary trailers, and you can't be much more temporary than these trailers. I mean, you want to talk about just a place to crash and to get a cold shower? And that Knox trailer park, even though it was part of the military thing, it looked like some Ren and Stimpy-ass trailer park. And they plowed it all down and put that Wilson entrance in there. And I'm telling you, that thing is amazing, dude. And it's pretty scenic when you drive on it.
Oh, it is. Hell said the yes. See, okay. Man, I got to another tangent. Okay, Stroh and Diamond Dave, behind the old Driftwood, I know it changed the name, there's a golf disc course park, or disc golf park, boat ramp,
yeah.
Little park, and it's got a something city name back there. Even
North,
though
Northeast
it's nothing
Creek.
But a,
yeah.
Northeast Creek, yep. But it's also got
yep.
another nickname there that I know law enforcement uses for sure. Dude.
Oh, Holiday City.
Say again?
Holiday City. The
Holiday
park
City.
There
we go. There we go.
Yes.
So Garen and I went out of that boat ramp there with a two-man pedal kayak, and we made it all the way out to that bridge at Wilson. Dude, we came back against the tide. That was a long ride. Because you all know,
yeah.
I mean, that's a minute to get through all that waterway.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
the,
because it barfs
but
you out.
God,
right,
that's
right
beautiful when you're on the water. I'm just saying it's beautiful when you're on the water.
But there's a lot of
God,
stuff
that's
creeping around in that water. It ain't hard to find damn gators and those damn, what do they call them, alligator gars.
Oh, absolutely. Gators, you're going to find a lot of good-sized gar. Oh, yeah, they're bowfin playing out there, all kinds of stuff. But they're redfish and other things.
Speaking of Holcomb Boulevard, you know when you go over that little overpass right before you get to the commissary and they got
yeah.
that little creek runs under it? The damn
yep.
gar? They swim right up to the bank, and those damn things are huge. They don't bite.
Oh, yeah.
But they'll tease you.
Oh, yeah, the gar and the damn, again, the bowfin. And just for the record, we just referenced two absolute dinosaurs because they were back around back in the day between the bowfin and the gar. Bowfin, often referred to as a lungfish.
Ah, yeah, that's true. And the gators, who used to chill with the old brontosauruses.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, we got some dinosaurs over there. So, that part of the country is old school, and we are so far away from movies. But
now,
I want to throw my props out there for Peaky Blinders. Just kind of different, and it runs a timeline from the immediately at the end of World War I.
Ah, okay.
And while we're pretty familiar with all our, given where we grew up, imagine this, we have a clue of American history at the time and all that. It's the it's a Brit take on the same era and what was going on over there. So some interesting stuff.
Now, I just looked up. We were speaking on Centennial and where to watch it. You can watch it on Stars, YouTube Premium, Sling, Philo, and probably the easiest one, Amazon Prime. So I might have to swipe Amazon. Yeah, because Dale has the Amazon Prime password. So I might have to, now that I've been running my mouth about this, and go back and watch it.
Well, you might have to run your mouth to get the password.
Hey, that won't be a first. It actually scored an 8.3 out of 10. That's how good it is.
We were, Papa Stroh, I know you're, I think a bit younger than Diamond Dave. The, do you remember the old Robert Conrad Ever Ready commercials?
Oh, yeah.
Was that not one of the original Tough Guy commercials?
Oh, yeah, man. Robert Conrad was the man back then, man. Oh, my God. This is great.
He's a man's man.
The other toughy commercial back at the time, and it has nothing to do with the muffler, although it was probably close to the time frame, was the old Timex commercials from the era. Takes a licking
yeah.
and keeps on ticking.
Ticking,
oh,
right.
yeah. Oh, those were great.
Because they'd beat the Timex with a hammer and all that kind of stuff.
Or somebody would be out fishing and the Timex had been out, you know, somebody had lost it whenever and somebody pulled it in, they wound it, and hey, it still works.
Yeah. I think my dad still has his Marine Corps issued one from Vietnam when he was blown off of that. He ran over a mine with a bulldozer in Vietnam. That was one of the several times he come into contact with a landmine. But the landmine blew him off the dozer, and it was a bad day. But damned if that damn Timex was still running. I mean, he was he was in the mud. I mean, the impact, the whole damn 9 yards, and damn, I'll be damned. I'll have to ask him if he still got that thing, because I can recall him still holding on to that thing, and I'm sure he's got it. My former bedroom at my folks' house is my dad's I Love the Marine Corps room now, and he's got a lot of his stuff in there. I had to ask him if he still got that.
Dave, just a hint, you ain't getting that shit back.
No, no. Yeah, that room is hallowed ground now. You have to ask for permission to go in there, you know?
Yeah, it's, stay nice to Dale because you ain't going home.
Oh, shit. Well, here we are at the 10 o'clock mark. We're still cruising right along. So we'll try to kick it back to a little bit of the mob action, and then we'll wrap things up for the evening. But, yeah, Stroh, before you joined us, we were talking about mob flicks, mob series and everything, you know, with the passing of Tony Rico and James Caan.
Yeah. That, oh, man.
That was sad. You know, it's hard to believe, though, man, that, and again, you know, as Todd was alluding to earlier with the passage of time and everything, De Niro, Pacino, all these guys are damn near 80, if not 80 already. And it's just hard to comprehend because we still picture them as, you know, Jimmy the Gent. And those type of characters, you know.
Well, Pacino, I tell you what, and kind of sort of mob and kind of not really. You talk about the same mob attitude. Dude, his role as Serpico
Oh yeah.
Oh, what a film.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he rattled off a handful right there. Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon. That was all kind of coming off of the Godfather success that he really uh-huh. killed it. Then, of course, in 82, he hit the crown jewel with, you know what your problem is, pussycat? God, Scarface is another one of those flicks. That if you had to make a list of flawless movies, you know, we had mentioned Easy Money and The Godfather earlier, but man, Scarface from start to finish, I mean, what a flick.
Oh, yeah, he's one of my all-time favorite actors, Al Pacino, man. He's awesome.
And the transformation he made from going and that's one of the interesting things about The Godfather. If you watch the first 10 minutes of Godfather and then watch the last 10 minutes of Godfather 2, the transformation he makes as Michael Corleone is just absolutely befuddling. I mean, it's just masterful what he did. And then turns around. Right. And turns into this Cuban immigrant in Scarface and just was like a totally different guy in that whole movie and killed it. I mean, destroyed it, man. Scarface.
Well, that's a whole different kind of mob, so that really fits into the theme. Maybe that's a whole bit that we missed. I know we tried to stay away from general gang, if you will. You know, I reference Colors, Warriors, that kind of gang.
What about Warriors, a great fun flick. Talking about transition, what about Carlito's Way?
Dude.
You ever see that? That was amazing.
Carlito's Way was amazing. Yeah, I've often said that if a chick flick humped a gangster movie and had a kid, it would be Carlito's Way, because it had, you know what I mean? It had that kind of romantic feel to it. And, I mean, mm-hmm. the guy, no matter how hard he tried to get away from the business, he just could not separate himself from it. And end of that movie, I ain't going to talk about the end of it. But I got to cut it off before the end, because the minute they start rolling the damn Joe Cocker. There we go.
Oh, you can't go wrong with Joe Cocker. Oh, my God.
And they're playing You Are So Beautiful, man. It's just like, dude, are you crying? No, I'm not crying. It's the pollen. It's January. There's pollen in January.
There is in North Carolina, Dave. It's okay.
Yeah, ain't that damn truth. Yeah, Carlito's Way was fantastic. That was one of the last good mob play. And again, when you say mob, as Todd alluded to, it's kind of a broad expanse. Are you kind of going into the drug kind of thing, you know, the cartel type stuff, or you're going, you know, into the organized crime? But, oh, yeah, Carlito's Way was that was a gut punch.
Amazing. Yes.
I'd hate like hell to be the big macho guy who took a chick out to the movie theater, and he was trying to be cool after watching Scarface and all that kind of stuff. You're like, hey, Pacino, hell yeah, I'm going to take my girl to watch this movie and try to keep a straight face during that flick.
Yeah.
Ends out a blubbering mess at the end, you know.
How about Son of a Woman, when he was the blind military man?
Hoo-wah. Hoo-wah.
Man, what a film that was.
Yeah, he was that was another one where he was just a totally different. What you didn't expect is what you got, but it was still perfect, you know?
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Now, him playing Hoffa in The Irishman?
Yeah.
I said that The Irishman is probably going to be the last good flick when it comes down to mob stuff with De Niro and Pesci and Pacino, and Harvey Keitel was even in that, for Christ's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Harvey Keitel was always a poor man's De Niro, but by God, Keitel was good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Former Marine, too, I believe.
Which is why he showed his dick in every movie.
I loved it in Pulp Fiction. He was awesome.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction.
Yeah. That was when he was the cleaner.
Yes.
As Travolta come out with his Santa Clara University banana slug shirt on. Now we're missing one that just come to mind. You talk about ensembles, you talk about cast. So I'm gonna throw some names out there. Somebody tell me what the movie is.
Okay.
You got Harvey Keitel. You got Tim Roth. You got Michael Madsen. Joe Buscemi, not Joe Buscemi. God damn it. Who's Buscemi's first name? Ted Buscemi. Sean Penn's brother. Can't remember his name.
Cal? No, that's the other. Joe, God, no, not even close.
It's Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Reservoir Dogs.
You need to have yourself, Penn brother.
Well, that's so funny to think of Cal Penn. Yeah. I guess it's probably because I've been watching the House series.
Yeah.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs was one of those ones that kind of got in under the radar, and you didn't really know about it until it started making some noise. And that was another one from start to finish. And if you watch it with earbuds, if you've never watched it with earbuds, you miss a lot of stuff. If you watch it and you have the noise-canceling earphones on, there's a lot more that happens in that movie in the background that you never see, but you hear. And, Reservoir Dogs. I mean, you miss the white, you miss the brown, you miss the pink. Why I got to be Mr. Pink? I don't want to be Mr. Pink. Why I got to be Mr. Pink? Steve Buscemi. I said Ted Buscemi. Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Well, you know what? There's somebody that's got a interesting acting history.
Yeah.
I was talking to the squirrel.
Yeah. He rode along with Adam Sandler there for a little while, was showing up in all the Adam Sandler flicks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi's a good guy.
Oh, he's great, man. I love his body of work, man. He's awesome.
Yeah, Reservoir Dogs, man. That whole, you want to talk about intense, though. That was one of those movies that you couldn't get up. You couldn't pee during that film. You had to watch it all the way through. And, I mean, it's just every second something is happening. And it's something else. It's
I'm going to throw one out kind of sort of mob-related, Suicide Kings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Yeah.
That's kind of like that Reservoir Dogs Under the Radar.
Exactly. You didn't know to look for it until people started talking about it, and then it was like, damn, this is a good flick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before I forget to mention it, you guys with me on Facebook, you probably saw the post. I came home from work, I think about a week, two ago, and I come in, and Rob was watching The Sopranos. And I'm going to tell you something, and without going deep into the rabbit hole, I have one of each. I have a son, I have a daughter. You guys, same ballpark. There's a different connection. You know, they always talk about moms have a different connection with their daughters. Well, dads have a different connection with their sons. And there are certain things that dads along the way see their sons do. And though dads don't, you know, dads are good about going somewhere else to display their emotions. And, you know, so here I am. I walk in the house, and my 23-year-old son is sitting there watching The Sopranos, right? And I didn't say a word to him. I just saw it. I got this big smile on my face, kind of beat on my chest a little bit, and went on about getting my stuff together. So when I change clothes to come back out, I'm getting stuff together in the kitchen for dinner, and Rob says, he says, I know you talk about The Sopranos all the time, but I never sat down and watched it. I can't quit watching this shit, Dad. And when he said it to me, I'm telling you, and he's in there watching it right now. I think he's season 4 right now. And The Sopranos was another one. Every Sunday night, 9 o'clock. Everything stopped.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Everybody got,
you know, it's so funny when I was growing up that it was, I think it was a little bit earlier. This just tell you generations. Back in the day, it was watching Disney on Sunday night.
Yeah.
Because just
they
saying,
show
the magic. I'm going to throw a weird tangent kind of eligible thing. Kind of, it was actually your love of the Blue Angels, and Blue Angels used a particular song for it. I remember driving and being on the, whatever the classic rock station was. They were in Jacksonville that has John Boy and Billy in the Morning.
Oh, yeah, WSFM. Yep.
Yeah, I swear she learned to say hello. From damn... the John Boy Billy character from Dolphin, Alabama. Hello. She learned to say it from there. But we were driving, and she was singing along with Motley Crue. Just saying.
That's magic. That is absolute magic.
Oh, that's my second favorite with her. My first favorite with her was we'd gone out shrimping, and AC/DC was playing, and I'd worn her ass out that night. It was way late for her, and they were playing You Shook Me All Night Long. She goes, Dad, are they singing You Shrimping All Night Long? I can't do it again. And, of course, I never hear AC/DC quite the same.
Yeah, totally different now. I remember picking Rob up from daycare when he was a little guy. This is before he went to school, and I'd pick him up, and I'd put him in his car seat, and he'd say, can we listen to the Ozzy guy? I was like, certainly, we can listen to Ozzy. And the day that he started singing Glenn Danzig's Mother in the back seat, I mean, I damn near had to pull the car over and just have a total Fallout Hallmark Channel cry over the whole thing. Because, of course, Glenn Danzig, Glenn Danzig, the guy rocks the hell out. And that was back in the day we used to burn CDs. You guys remember those days, right? And
oh, yeah.
I had a bunch. So you get that little intro on Mother, at the beginning, and then it starts off with Glenn hitting the mother, and Rob's in the back seat and starts singing that damn song, and I was like, holy shit, my son at 4 years old knows the words to Glenn Danzig's Mother. I am dad of the year.
See, that's
that's a boy.
That's kind of funny.
Yeah, that was good stuff, man. But yeah, watching
well,
him
see,
watch the Soprano,
that's the heavy metal mob.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But yeah, looking at the Sopranos right now, if you stop and look, and then we'll have to pinch it off. Of course, we're getting close to extra innings. But if you look at the Sopranos cast, there's a lot of them gone, man. You figure, Gandolfini's gone. I think Uncle June's gone. Dominic Chianese, which, by the way, if you ever get a chance to look up his opera, that guy can sing opera like you wouldn't. Italian opera?
Uh-huh.
That guy has a voice like you wouldn't imagine. And he is also the guy who played Johnny Ola in The Godfather 2. Who sold out, who buddied up to Fredo, that sold out Michael, and you broke my heart, Fredo. I know it was you, Fredo. You broke my heart. You remember the whole part. And then we lost, of course, Tony Chirico and Frankie Vincent. He was another one. Frankie Vincent played the bad guy in every damn mob movie for ages, man. He played Billy Batts in Goodfellas. And that whole sequence. Now I'm going to tell you something about Tommy. When he was a kid, he can make your shoes look like freaking mirrors, man. I mean, shine these shoes like you wouldn't imagine. And here comes Pesci. And I don't know if they come up there and told you or not, but I don't do shines no more. That whole sequence was just brutal. That was when he come into the bar and he goes, around for all my, for all the Italians in here. And go ahead and send something down to those two Irish hoodlums at the end of the bar. And he was talking about Ray Liotta and Robert De Niro. And Robert De Niro holds the glass up and goes, top of the morning to you. Just great lines, man. Now I'm going to have to go and watch Goodfellas this weekend. You know, last week's show, we were talking about good stuff to watch. And I'll be damned if we didn't come up with more good stuff on tonight's show just by shooting the breeze about good mob flicks and everything else. So in the event you need some watching material, go back and pick up on all these films and series that we've been talking about. And become a couch potato. It's some damn good watching. With some good quality actors in it, too. I'm talking some Hall of Fame stuff. You know, we were talking Al Pacino, De Niro, Robert Conrad. I mean, good stuff, man. So with all that being said, I reckon it's time to kick it around the room. They are parting shots. And move on through the rest of the week now that we're here on hump day. And the way my week's going, I'll be tickled to death to see this week get over with. But nevertheless,
who are you telling?
That's a different, that's a different conversation. I did get a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel this evening. Things started kind of coming together on a few things. So, perhaps tomorrow will be a new start. I'm not counting on it. I'm hoping for the best, nevertheless. So we'll go ahead and start it off, and as I usually do, start it off with the guy with the busiest schedule, Brother Stroh. Talk to me.
Well, tomorrow night, WCW Retro and VSNation.com at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we'll be discussing the career of Bret the Hitman Hart. Some of his influences and moments, et cetera. So if you've got any cool Bret Hart memories and moments, please call in. It should be a lot of fun. Friday night, my horror sci-fi show, The Stro Zone, will be on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StroTheMaestro, at midnight Eastern Standard Time. And the feature for Friday night will be War of the Satellites from back in the day. So please tune into that. And I might be making an appearance this Saturday. They're having a big festival going on at the Craven County JC's Fairgrounds in New Bern, North Carolina, Saturday and Sunday. And I might be making an appearance for that Saturday. So just look for me at the Shockwave Wrestling kiosk there at the festival in the fairgrounds. So and thank you for having me, Mr. Oz. It was really great to be with you all tonight.
Outstanding. Yeah, good to have you aboard. Like I said, I'd like to get a hold of Anthony Dowling and get him on here because he's great conversation. I always like his he got a lot of insight, like you said, towards not only entertainment but just life in general. And he was interesting to have on board. So need to get a hold of him, see if he wants to come
and
in.
He does such good stuff.
Yes.
Such good stuff.
Yes. Good people. So, going to kick it over. And Stro, good to have you aboard, man. Appreciate you joining us this evening. So.
Yeah, Sam, thank you. Thank you.
Our alpaca herder and good brother, what you got going?
Well, I guess there's a reason why I've been a little bit more quiet this evening. Actually, there's a couple reasons. I ended up having some company. My 10-year-old in the background sometimes gets bored from his video games, believe it or not, and has to play Hot Wheels in the background, so I figured to stay muted was the better option. Also, I've been kind of working in the background, too. But anyway, other than that, just, you know, the usual for me, trying to catch up on work, taking some more leave, believe it or not, as if it's the that's probably the last thing I really need to do. But needless to say, we'll be going up to Michigan next week, renting for a couple of days on Airbnb. So that'll actually be my what's supposed to be my real vacation, where I can just sit and relax and watch the kids play on the beach. So I'm hoping maybe I can get some stuff done at work before that gets here, not have to worry so much. Continue to work on stuff
we'll
around the house.
Put in 20-hour days.
Yeah, I'm kind of working on it right now. But other than that, it's just business as usual, man. So I hope everybody has a good week. Glad to have everyone on that's on right now. And, yeah, kick it on over to Todd.
Yeah, dude, safe travels, man. You're turning into Uncle Traveling Matt. Who can tell me what that's from? Anybody? Uncle Traveling Matt. Am I the only one to watch Fraggle Rock when he was a kid?
Fraggle Rock. Oh, my God.
No, I did too.
Well, that wasn't – I wasn't a kid when that was on, so okay.
Yeah, I said I was a kid. I was probably early teen when that one started hitting, now that I think about it. Yeah, Fraggle Rock, Uncle Traveling Matt, who left the Fraggle populace and explored the world, always found different places. That's Tim right now. He's in remotes everywhere. What he's actually doing is a covert autograph signing circuit that he's doing right now. We just don't know about it. He's going around signing boobs and everything else, living the life while we're out here trying to put on this show every Wednesday night. But I'm going to tell you something, Tim, when it comes down to brass tacks, playing cars with your son versus doing hanging out with us knuckleheads, you're doing it right. Play those cars, dude, because that's where the time is at. Very well done. Kind of jealous of you. So
definitely
well done.
Roll with it.
Done. Yeah, dude, I'm all over that. So, Todd, what kind of wisdom do you have for us?
Okay, we're going to follow the theme of the show tonight, even though we got the hells away from it. Hey, come over here, kid. Learn something. You never know. You might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and it goes on. The Godfather went beyond moviedom. The recipe for Clemenza's spaghetti sauce is out there on the internet.
Really?
Give it a go.
Oh,
wow. You think, oh, no, that was huge. It's out there.
No,
it is abso-stinking-lutely out there. 2 tablespoons olive oil, 3 garlic cloves, crushed tomatoes, diced tomatoes, tomato paste. Talking about the Italian sausages, references grilling them first, I concur. Well, actually, you slice and do them in the pan first. You get the oil reduction before you add the everything else, the meatballs as well. You always pre-do your meat in the pan and use the oil from those things and the way that stuff works, and it's going to flavor your sauce just so much. Touch red wine and your the secret ingredient. Let's see if I can find the phrase. And a little bit of sugar, and that's my trick.
And you got to cook it all
The Godfather influenced spaghetti recipes. Just saying. So it's out there. And it, just to try to make an attempt to bring it together with the theme, and take care of yourselves, take care of one another, take care of your family, which really fits with the theme. Be good. Be good.
Yes, well said. That was another classic part of that movie right there. If you ever wondered what it was like to live in an Italian household, that's definitely part of it. And they actually addressed that in the offer, and they were talking about the opening sequence, how the, you know, they had the Italian wedding, and the Paramount wanted to cut that back. They said, well, get rid of all these extras. We'll just do this. And Francis Ford Coppola said, have you ever been to an Italian wedding? We can't cut out the extras. And it's true. If you've ever been to an Italian wedding, it lasts for days. It never ends. And you party until you can't party no more. And then you get up and you party some more. But, yeah, Clemenza, I'm going to look that up, man. Because that whole scene just makes you hungry.
I just posted the link in the group chat.
Ah, very good. Well done.
Yeah, I'm way ahead of you.
Yeah, I might have to go ahead and, of course, the wife is on the keto stuff now, so everybody's on keto. Jesus Christ. I ain't going to get in on that.
I'm just, you know what, Dave? I got a whole nother one for you. Hold on.
I never thought.
I'm going to get in trouble for this. Just for the record, I already posted this one to the family, so it'll get my ass kicked. But yeah, I'm already paying for posting this one to the family. But I'll post this in our group chat. It's the for those that are married. There's a Japanese word. Give me one moment. I'll pull it up so I don't foul it up. There with
yeah,
me.
When your wife goes on a diet.
Basically, it's I eat to spite. It's kuchisabishi. When you're not hungry, but you eat because your mouth is lonely. Boy, Yuki did not like me posting that. And I'm going to share that in our stuff. And Yeah. For those of you dealing with keto.
My God.
Help yourself out.
Me and Rob actually have a stash of Rice Krispie treats in my truck. And when we let the dogs out, we'll go to my truck and eat Rice Krispie treats. Because you're better off coming into this household with a Ziploc bag full of blow than what you are walking in here with Ziploc with a Ziploc bag full of Rice Krispie treats. It is, and, you know, they all say the same thing. You can eat what you want. It doesn't bother me. Bullshit. I ain't even sticking my leg in that bear trap. Nuh-uh. Mama raised a drunk, not an idiot. I ain't doing that.
Whoa,
but nevertheless,
I'm proud of you, Dave. You finally picked up on that.
Yeah, it only took 26 years, a couple ass whippings, a couple pillows over my face that I had to fight out of. But, I mean, otherwise, everything was bliss.
Wait, those weren't the ones you asked for?
Those were the ones I was expecting. But nevertheless, good to have you aboard tonight. Appreciate you sharing everything, man. As usual, good bunch of guys here in this building, man. I really appreciate you guys joining up on Wednesday nights. Brings the spirits up when things ain't been worth a damn. Definitely good to have you aboard this evening. So my parting shots real quick, just a reminder, September 10th, New River Shopping Center, Lionized Games, Jacksonville Minicon. You will have the likes of Papa Stroh, myself, and our History Channel alumni, fellow author and jack of all trades, master of none, Dr. John, will be there. Looking forward to that. And if you show up, it's a free admission. Show up and get you a $5 off coupon for the Jacksonville Comic Con that'll be coming up on February 18th, 2023. $5 off admission. Grab it up while you can. And, of course, the Hunger Series by yours truly there on Amazon.com. Got a little things brewing in the background with that. And my Etsy thing, I'm actually, this week, believe it or not, I had, I am specializing on geek decor. Now, what's geek decor? Glad you asked. If you're a Star Wars geek or Marvel geek or Harry Potter geek, whatever, I am doing, you know how most people will decorate their houses with floral prints and birds and all that kind of nifty stuff? Not me. I hang pictures of the Joker up in my house, right? So I am painting things that you can hang up around the house or centerpieces and that kind of stuff, and I'm working very diligently on it. With all geek culture stuff. It's all Star Wars, Marvel. Hell, I even got SpongeBob stuff on there that I've created. And it's called Geek Cave Creations. And the other night I had a young lady get on there and just totally blew me away with the kindness. It says, I love your work. It's so unique. It's so amazing. I dig. Are you willing to do customs? I said, well, what do you have in mind? Before you know it, I did $100 worth of work for her in the last couple of days, and I just finalized everything, and I'm going to put tape on the package when I get done with the show tonight so I can put it in the mail tomorrow. But we talk about getting the bright spots when you're having a rough time. Man, that sure didn't make my week. And really made an old man feel good. So, yeah, that package will be going in the mail in the morning, and I'll be feeling like King Kong when I did it. Because when the good stuff hits, especially the way things are right now, when the good things hit, don't be scared to put your arms around them and squeeze them tight. Kind of like Tim playing with cars with his son right now. Cherish that shit. Because it's worth its weight in gold. But with all that being said, I reckon I will go ahead and toss out the last little bit of the cigar I got. One last drag. There we go. And I'll pour out the last little bit, two drops. Tony Chirico and James Caan, two real gangsters. And then I will go in to Atwell Manor through the janky back door and cue in the old salty British lady. That's after I step over the 130-pound Mastiff laying in the doorway here. Misty never realizes her size. Okay, don't move, chick. I'm stepping over you. Man, these dogs are crashed out. Got one crashed on a love seat, one crashed on the couch, one crashed on the floor. I guess they're trying to throw me a signal. All right. With all that being done, gentlemen, you are the best. Much love to all of you. And thank everybody out there for joining us again here at Pop Culture Stars. We will talk to you guys soon. Be safe. Be good to one another. All right?
Big hugs. Where's that compound British lady?
Where is she at? The old damn crusty, salty British broad.